Hello, nerds. This is Jesse from Rock Sugar, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Keep it right here.
I know what you mean, Ferb. It does seem like more than 104 days.
Hello, and welcome to episode 76 of Falco, brought to you by the GeekCast Radio Network. I am your host, TFG and Mike. Joining me, as always, is Peacock Court Michael. Hello, sir.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going. I hear you have some Band-Aid issues. What a musical nightmare. Today is the 76th day of summer, and this means that the giant snowmen are going to attack us.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I can't talk about Yetis anymore.
It's like swinter is what it is.
Yeah. I prefer warmer. It's time we get back to the Phineas and Ferb cartoon review show here at the GCRN, and we have two full cartoons, four individual cartoon things today. We have The Quietest Day Ever, Bully Bromance Breakup, The Dunkelberry Imperative, and Buford Confidential. Oh boy, two Buford episodes today. See, I told you last episode these episodes were going to be getting fun.
Okay. Well, that's what we're going to call it right now. Yeah.
I thought they were fun.
Just wait.
Oh, Lord. Please, do not. After what I had to edit last episode, don't make me edit anything else. so
I'll
far.
I'll keep it to a minimum.
Yeah, please do. I can't stop.
Oh, just out of curiosity, did you use any of the sound bites that I left for you while you were away for 20 minutes?
I don't know, because at this point in time, I haven't finished editing that episode.
Oh, those are the best. Those are some of my best lines.
Yeah, I'll have to see.
Okay. Anyway, edit point 9:12.
No. That would be 11:57.
Oh, okay, cool.
It's coming!
Ah! The prophecy has come true!
We are about to pay for our overconsumption.
You created me, Garbagezilla, and now, puny humans, prepare to be trashed!
Knock it off!
First up is Quietest Day Ever. After Mom asks the kids to keep quiet while she prepares for her online knitting test... Giant eye roll from me. Phineas and Ferb create ninja outfits designed to hide the wearer from anyone who is not wearing them. Meanwhile, Candace becomes incessantly frustrated after she can't find the boys and bust them. Across town, Dr. Doofenshmirtz invents the D-Handsominator. Okay.
That's funny.
You know... We yes. were talking about irony when we did Agent Doof last episode, because Agent Doof, the A story of that is Candace and the boys are babies and she has to take blah, 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 whatever. I don't care.
Sure. Yeah, something happened.
But the point of that, like, and now the irony is that Linda wants them to be quiet. The boys are being quiet, but Candace increases her volume every single time and she's the one that, like... If I could put music in a podcast, I'd just play Ironic from Alanis Morissette right here.
Well, I'm not going
to. But I can't do that. Well, you're not editing this. If you're editing this,
I thought you wanted me to sing. I'm sorry.
No.
I'm not going
to
do that.
Well, I mean, you know, fly in your Chardonnay, rain on your wedding day. I mean, it's not that hard to sing Ironic.
I have no oil on this.
Don't you think?
I try not to.
Yeah, I know. All right. What did you like about Quietest Day Ever?
I liked a lot about it. This is a good episode. I'm a longtime fan of ninjas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like way back in the 80s from, Ninja 1, Ninja 2, and Ninja 3. So, such luminary works of ninjadom, such as Eye of the Ninja and Death of the Ninja and Ninja, Ninja, Ninja. But this made me happy. I just really liked watching the suits kind of hide on their own.
Yeah, that was really cool.
It was cool.
Yep.
Silent and invisible, like a ninja. I wanted to be a ninja when I grew up.
And what happened?
I didn't grow up.
I don't think any of us have.
Black pajamas that hide you from other people.
It's very slimming, and it's I should know.
It's because I'm on a diet. That's funny.
No, no. It might be because you're on a diet. It's not because I'm on a diet. It's because I'm constantly gaining weight. So, yeah, every time I wear black, I feel like I'm 20 pounds lighter than I actually am.
Yeah, well, you know, that.
Not good, folks.
Holding my tongue. Actually, the joke here was like my wife disappears at supermarkets like a ninja. It's funny because I'll go to the store with her, and I'll turn my back for a minute, and I look. I'll like the oh look cookies, you know, and I turn back and she's gone. A ninja.
Yeah, that's what they do, man. They have high tech ninja skills, you know.
She's got a suit that makes her disappear when that's I turn right. my back. It's black pajamas.
That's right, man. Black pajamas. They're stealthy.
That's funny.
Especially if you leave them turned on, they can, you know, become self-aware.
They hide behind trees. They're like, holy crap.
It's a ninja robot suit.
I thought it had John Cena in it. You can't see me.
Yeah.
That reference went phew, right over.
No, I got it. Thank you. I'm just thinking, what would John Cena look like in a ninja suit? He wouldn't look as slim as Phineas and Ferb, I can tell you that.
But you could tell you could still tell which direction his head was pointing, though.
That was weird. I didn't like that. That was strange. Like, which way is your head pointing, Phineas? To the left. And I'm like, ooh, creepy eyeballs. Reminded me of my old days in kindergarten where every the one time I was in kindergarten with Halloween, damn teacher had eyeball soup. And I'm like, no, thank you.
Oh, that's hilarious.
No, it really isn't.
Eyeball soup. That is
not awesome. when you're five and you're scared of shit like that.
So the other side of the story that doesn't involve ninjas, which yes. completely like lost my interest, is Doof becoming handsome.
You know what? I love it. I love both sides of this story because I think that's a way that they would have never like normally gone. But the fact that the de-handsominator makes him handsome because it has an ugly setting and a handsome setting, which
it's an ugly setting and a not ugly setting.
Yeah, not ugly setting. Yeah, and it's like okay.
Hey, I mean, honestly, I think I just wake up every morning and shoot myself with that. Because
well, it's one way to get ready for your for your job in the morning. You know,
there you go. Yeah. I'd be like irradiated from shooting myself so much with this inseminator.
Hold on, Perry the Platypus. I'm just getting the mail. Oh, goody, it's my order from the Power Tool and Skeleton Key Warehouse. I was wondering when this was going to... Oh, look at this. Every week, the mailman makes the same mistake, and I end up getting my neighbor's HS Weekly. Here, hold this pair of the platypus. I need to rant. I hate all these good-looking models on the cover of Handsome and Symmetrical magazine, mocking me with their manly perfection. Their perfect hair, their perfect skin, I hate it! And this is why I created the De-Handsominator! Soon, all these good-looking faces will be hideous! Ow! Wait, did you use the skeleton key, or was it the power tools? Just glad I'm not going to tell you why the apple. You know, I don't have the energy for this. It's still early. Do you want to go grab some lunch? Come on. I skipped breakfast this morning. You like eggs?
Yeah, but no, I thought that was cool. I thought that was interesting because, you know, he doesn't realize until Perry holds up the mirror. And where the hell did Perry get that mirror? That's what I want to know.
I need to stop at the bank. I don't have any cash.
It's an honor, sir. A real honor. I can't wait to tell my wife.
Oh, are you famous? You look like a model. Are you an actor? You go first. I can wait.
Please, I'm just getting some cash to buy medicine for my kids.
Yes, hello. I just need to make a withdrawal from my account, please.
Here, take this. It's on us.
No, no, just enough for lunch.
Sparkling cider.
Scrambled eggs. That's real lobster in there.
Preserve the moment.
Can you believe the service in this place, Barry the Platypus?
Here you go. All framed.
Hey, I think you're... See, this isn't me. This is just the superhumanly attractive male model that came with the frame. I mean, really, look at this guy, right? That's funny. He's wearing a lab coat, just like me. Oh, this is horrible. I can't be handsome. It's everything I despise. Don't you understand? Beautiful people, they just get everything they want in the world. I mean, watch this.
That's someplace very uncomfortable.
What, the back of a Volkswagen?
Stop it.
What? I didn't do anything.
The back of a Volkswagen. That's funny. Actually, the last time I saw this storyline, quote unquote plot line, right, is from the SpongeBob episode with the handsome Squidward.
Oh yeah,
that's where all that.
I remember seeing like advertisements for that, but I never actually watched it.
Well, you can't help but see it because it's on like every meme. If it's not a SpongeBob, you know, pecking chicken meme, it's the handsome Squidward meme. And I know I say meme because it's a short for mnemonic. Something you remember.
Right. What'd you say? I just forgot what you said.
Exactly. That's why it's not memorable. Hence the term.
Exactly. but no, I thought the B story was cool, especially the song. I love the friggin' song. That's hilarious.
The song was good. I mean, it wasn't just the typical, oh, look, we're singing about what we're doing song. I mean, this one seemed like somebody sat up all night actually writing.
Rugged, my hair is wavy, my eyes they twinkle and shine. I used to be mashed potatoes, now I'm the gravy. Nobody else is quite this fine. I'm the face, I'm a real ace. Nobody's visual appeal is stronger. I'm the very definition of masculine grace. Take a picture, it'll last you longer. Cause I'm handsome, I'm so good looking. I'm easy on the eyes, don't you know that I'm handsome? I got chiseled features. Try not to look surprised when you see that I'm handsome. I'm a real Adonis. I'm the best you ever saw. I'm handsome. I'm a tall drink of water. Somebody better grab a straw. Cause I'm handsome.
My company wants to give you a lifetime supply of our distinctive hand mirrors.
Send them over. Don't you know that I'm handsome?
I'm gonna name all my children after you, even though they're already in college.
Nice. Can't you see that I'm handsome? Get in line, ladies. Cause I'm handsome. I'm a total catch, really. I'm quite fetching. It's a word. It is. It means that I'm handsome.
Well, 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 Heinz. At the age of 47, you've finally grown into your looks.
Yes. Yes, I have.
I like the fact that everybody just falls over themselves to do what Heinz wants once he's handsome.
Right.
He says, you know, I think I want to be mayor. And they say, elections are for ugly people. I'm sure they'll just give him the mayorship. All right.
Now, starring in the live-action Phineas and Ferb movie as Dr. Heinz Doofenshmirtz, President Joe Biden. Because, you know, elections are for ugly people in 2016.
I was going to say, he's handsome for an 81-year-old guy, I guess.
Compared to the orange troglodyte, though? I mean, come on. That's the point here.
No contest. That's right. We're just going to give him the presidentship.
Exactly.
More handsome. But I find it funny that Roger's all up for it.
Yeah.
He, like, invites him to town hall. It would be my pleasure to suspend democracy and make you our supreme leader. Like, that's rather specific. Sure. Okay.
And it's like our supreme leader of the tri-state area. Like, what about the rest? That's the problem I've always had. I get that Doof has a small goal of just the tri-state area, but like, Supreme leaders usually rule more than just a tri-state area. They usually rule the entire world.
Once you leave tri-city limits and you're no longer under the rule of the supreme leader. It's only supreme up to the state line. County line. County line.
Whatever, same thing. Right.
They're the part of the tri-state county.
Yes. The too young line reveals that Hines is 47 years old.
I don't know. I'm 47.
In a row?
Try not to get any older on your way to the parking lot. You know, it's funny. I'm 47, and I'm still waiting to grow into my handsome face. Just not working. I keep waiting.
You know what's so funny about this is, as of this recording, by the time this probably airs, this will be long gone, but they did this whole Valentine's Day show your, you know, then and now couple thing and whatever hashtag on Facebook, and Chrissy shared a photo of the two of you from, like, God knows how many years ago, and I'm like, holy crap, he used to have hair.
I have hair? What are
you talking about? You have less hair than you did then, though. That's the point.
Dude, I'm 47. But that, and... And the fact that, yeah, that photo was literally over 20 years old.
It was, yeah, that's, an, yeah.
It was an older photo of me. Yes. But yeah, we looked like babies. It was crazy. We were just little chillins.
Yep.
Ah, good times. Where were we? Oh, I was talking about this episode. The funny thing is Perry, upon seeing that Hines is about to become supreme leader of the tri-state area, immediately fires up the innator and prepares to be evil.
Yup.
He's like, I'm gonna point this thing at you. I'm gonna shoot you in the face. I always knew he was the bad guy. He is the antagonist here.
No, he's not.
What? Every episode, Hines is like, I'm just building my thing, you know, and then he comes in and punches him in the face and then smashes his thing and then leaves.
Right.
That's not an antagonist. Totally antagonistic.
But Hines is going to be doing evil. That's the thing. Perry has to stop him from doing the evil that he does.
We've had a conversation many a times in that, is this Nader really evil? Is this something really? It's going to turn chocolate milk into regular milk. And it's like,
That's kind of evil. That's kind of evil.
All right, I'm sorry. I was too hasty. That was a bad example. All right.
Why would you want to turn chocolate milk into regular milk? I mean, Denny's?
You can add more chocolate. It's not inherently evil. He's not like clubbing baby seals over the head, you know, with a club. He's just kind of doing things oddly. And that's the most he can be guilty of. Is he really evil? And yet here you have Perry pointing a weapon at someone's face.
I mean, it's not just any someone, though. It's Dr. Doofenshmirtz. It's his nemesis. He has to fight his nemesis. I mean, come on. How do you not
know that? I don't know.
Yeah. It's a nice side thing.
Maybe I'm getting ahead of myself here. I'm sorry.
Yes. Well, you kind of lost me with the chocolate milk thing. I almost don't want to be your friend anymore if you want to turn chocolate milk into regular milk. What the hell's wrong with you?
That was pretty evil. It's pretty evil.
Wow, right. You're more evil than Hines.
I'll be that guy.
You're more evil than Perry.
Okay, what else are we looking at here? Candace tries to bust the boys for ninja costumes. Her mom can't see the ninja costumes. She's really mad because she can hear her, but in the end, the costumes disappear anyway.
Yes, they do. They put themselves away, which is nice. I mean, if we had self-folding clothes, it'd make laundry so much easier.
Ooh, see now, that would make a good nader.
See, it would.
It's a laundry unfoldinator. That you can put in reverse.
Wouldn't that be just a laundry foldinator?
Well, it's kind of like a handsominator.
Please tell me there's no ugly laundry setting.
It's just my clothes.
No, that would just be my clothes.
It's like, you look like you got hit with an ugly laundryinator. It's like, oh, man, burn. Sick burn, bro.
Yeah, it could be worse. You could be hit with a big laundry uglyinator.
It only works on big and tall and husky.
Well, that's sadly what we are. At least I am, anyway.
I put the extra in extra large.
I put the 7X in 7X. Literally, I'm wearing a 5X t-shirt right now, and it I can see my own gut. Well, anyway.
Then.
Yeah, quietest day ever. Maybe I should shut up now.
Just bleep that out. That's fine.
Sure, you want me to bleep that out, but then you want me to forcibly remove the Yetis. Great.
There you go. Yeah, anytime you put your foot directly into your mouth, you're allowed to edit it out. And the best line is, it comes at the end. Mush, Candace.
Yeah. Mush, Candace. Mush.
Good times.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this one. I thought it was super funny. I thought it was super fun. Both sides of the story. Because, again, the song is so good. Like, the song sells the scheme for me.
I like the whole idea of him just becoming handsome and wallowing in it for a while. You know, he has such a good time with it.
And I feel
bad. It's like, why did he feel the need to, why did Perry feel the need to have to unhandsome him? He was finally getting everything he wanted, and it wasn't particularly evil. He didn't hurt anybody else. They were just falling over themselves to give him what he wanted.
Yeah, but when you suspend democracy, the dictators show up, and nobody wants a dictator. That's a bad potato.
Oh, dear. I see what you did there. All right.
What would you rate Quietest Day Ever?
I would give this one a 4 for ninja antics.
That's right. I'm also giving it a 4 for basically just everything. I really, really had fun with this episode.
Nice.
So we will be moving on to the next episode. See you in a few moments, folks.
Replacing wedgied underwear. If I had anything left, I would invest in the company.
Wedgie time! Thanks for saving my place in line, nerd.
Buford, how did you find me?
Let's just say the initials are GP and S.
Next.
A pack of tough gum and this cheese grater.
What is the cheese grater for?
You'll see.
486, paper or plastic?
Plastic. Pay the man, propeller head.
I can put up with noogies, wedgies, wet willies, and even the fact that you apparently placed a tracking device on or inside my person, but I will not tolerate your ignorant decision to take plastic over paper. From this moment on, I am no longer your nerd.
Fine. I was feeling creatively stifled by you anyway. And you just cost me a perfectly good nerd. Maybe I'll make you my new nerd.
Wow, your pressure tactics are quite developed for a youngster.
Yes, yes they are. But some people don't appreciate that.
You may be the most intimidating person I've ever met.
You better believe it.
You could probably bully the entire tri-state area.
I'm getting tingly.
All right, up next is Bully Bromance Breakup. After Baljeet announces that he is no longer Buford's nerd, a heartbroken Buford accepts Dr. Doofenshmirtz's proposal to help win over the tri-state area. The new partnership causes a problem for Perry, since he can't reveal himself as Agent P to Doofenshmirtz without Buford seeing him. Meanwhile, over at the Flynn Fletcher house, Baljeet is thrilled with the freedom to live his own life. With all his newfound energy, he enlists the boys to help him climb Danville Mountain without their inventions.
Mm-hmm. He climbed the mountain.
Yeah, he climbed a mountain, all right. Just the fact that Buford has a GPS on Baljeet somewhere is just... No. No, you don't put GPSs on your friends, even if they are your nerds.
Well, I mean, you have them on your kids. technically everyone carries a phone, and all you have to do is push find me on the phone, and it shows you where they are.
That's true, but that's a phone. Like, this was actually inside Baljeet's clothing or inside his person or or something. Like Buford all of a sudden became a neurosurgeon and implanted something in Baljeet's brain or something like that. That's the way it's implied, or something. That's the way it's implied to me. I don't know.
I thought it was like in his pocket.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it ends up being in his clothes, because Buford's like, here, I'll remove that for you. He rips off part of his overalls and his pants fall down.
Oh.
So Buford still depantsed his nerd.
Yeah, and that's part of what I don't like.
Okay.
Buford is a bully. I mean, that's his shtick. That's it. And at this point, you know, they have him bullied for Doofenshmirtz, so they're using his bullying for evil.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the way I feel about it, it's like you've already got this unhealthy codependent relationship between Baljeet and Buford. Uh-huh. And Baljeet finally says, you know, I've had enough. I don't need this anymore. And I'm going to grow as a person and move on. And that lasts a little while. You know, he says, I'm going to climb this mountain that suddenly appears.
No, Daniel's mountain has always been there. They just don't always show it.
They don't always show it. It's like the tallest thing in the cityscape is Evil Incorporated. It's this, you know, Doofenshmirtz's building. And yeah, suddenly there's this mountain over here.
I guess.
Exactly. That's what I said. I guess. Sure, there's a mountain there. It's always been there. Why not? But, you know, he's like, you know what? I'm going to take this new liberated freedom, this motivation I have, and I'm going to climb this mountain. And it's like a metaphor for him. He's not just climbing a mountain. He is gaining control over his life and his own self-worth.
Mm-hmm.
And he climbs that mountain. He conquers the mountain. And then when he gets to the top, he realizes that he craves bullying. He would prefer to be in that unhealthy codependent relationship.
Okay. Technically, you're right. But again, to your point of, formula. You know, the formula for them in this series is that they are a bully and a nerd. And let's face it. Buford, yes. even when his bullying tactics, which are very developed for a youngster, yes, they are being used for evil, they're not, like, the worst. Like, it's not like he's destroying buildings with his bullying tactics. He's just trying to get his own way kind of thing. And, yeah, you're right. It is, you know, Baljeet does try to conquer this and... I don't know why the hell he had to climb a mountain. I mean, if I hadn't been able to invent something, I was going to scream.
It's a metaphor.
Yeah, I know, right? But it's just one of those. Metaphor. Yeah, I know. But it's just one of those things where they even say in the song, there's a nerd-shaped hole in my heart. There's a bully-sized hole in my heart. Because at the end of the day, they really are best friends.
Codependent. It's not true. Healthy. True. People go to therapy for this, you know. Therapists make a lot of money on people like this. I don't know. I don't like that. I mean, sometimes their relationship is funny because the way they play off each other. But when he's actually hurtful, like, there's a lot of wedgies lately, you know. And it's like, wow, that's really awful. You know? I mean, that's really terrible.
Before any of us move, I have got one last thing to do. Yeah, I feel much better. Do not you?
Wow. I had no idea that was so uncomfortable. I am so sorry.
It's been great sharing this bonding moment with you two, but we need to get off this crumbling mountain now!
Grab hold of something! Do you ever get used to this?
Nope. I am totally gonna wash my hands after this. Twice.
Even at the end, Buford's like, ow, that really hurts.
That's... that's the comeuppance here, is that Buford finally understands what his actions, the pain that his actions cause. So that's why I'm like, okay, it's good that they go back to the formula of Buford and Baljeet being bully and nerd friends.
I don't know. I like the idea that, oh, we're friends, and but we have this awful breakup, but now we can come back together because we realize that we need each other and we're friends again. And that's a nice message, just not in this instance. You know, if Isabella suddenly said, you're not spending enough time with me and it bothers me and I'm going to leave the group, but at the end she said, you know what, I really like you guys and I feel like I can't leave you and we need to be together and that makes us stronger, I'd say, hey, I'm all for that. That's beautiful. But in this case, it kind of rubs me the wrong way.
I guess. I mean, I guess we could always interview Mike Milo or John Mathot, who wrote and storyboarded this episode, and see where they were coming from with this. But I just saw it as, I'm not saying you're not, I'm not disagreeing with the fact that you are right. However, it's just one of those things where I think they both realize that they need that codependency, whether it's toxic or not, because that's the definition of their relationship. That's the definition of their friendship. And maybe it gets better. Maybe it doesn't. I don't think it gets worse, because by the time we get up to Act Your Age in season 4, I think they're pretty much spread apart because they went in different ways. So as they get older, maybe it's, you know, whatever, gotten less. But in this instance, for this episode, we wouldn't have that awesome bully bromance breakup song without them breaking up and getting back together.
God, it's a duet. Does Buford usually get to sing? Because it's pretty awful. Yeah,
sometimes he does.
It was just, like, terrible. I was not thrilled.
Okay, that's enough triumph for one day. Are we done here, Baljeet?
Yes.
Phineas, go!
If we hadn't been able to invent something soon, I was going to scream.
Somewhere out across that skyline, maybe down some lonely street, there is a boy with anger issues, without whom I am incomplete. Who will give me wedgies now, now that we are so far apart? A bully-sized hole in my heart.
Who will I give noogies to and tease for being so smart? I just don't know what to do. There's a nerd-shaped hole in my heart. There's a nerd-shaped hole.
A bully-sized hole.
A big honking hole in my heart.
Wait a second, you're singing? I know what that means. You're leaving, aren't you?
Sorry, Dr. Duthanasia, but there comes a time when you don't want to bully everyone. You just want to bully someone you love.
Nice kid. Well, back to the innate doctor.
It's interesting how, you know, they each have a half of the song, and it's like an American Tale where Five-O is looking up at the sky and he sees the moon, and it's like, we're both under the same moon. Uh-huh. And they're kind of leaning towards something like that, but not as uplifting. And the other side of the story is equally bad, in the sense that, you know, Phineas and Ferb are on just along for the ride up this mountain,
right?
And Phineas has the Jones. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's like going through withdrawals. It hurts to watch. He's like, hey man, you know. I'll give you this hamburger in this greasy bag if you let me invent something. You know, it's.
Yeah.
It, you know, he's going up this mountain and he's just waiting for his next fix. And they end up dragging him up the mountain because he's physically debilitated from his addiction.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where when they finally get to the top of the mountain, he's like, can I build something now? Let me build it now. I got to build it. And they let him build it. What is this, chalet? Like a hunting lodge?
It's an ice chalet on top of Doof's head. Because Doof's head got turned into the mountain.
Well, you know, and oddly, that's like the last C story that we didn't even talk about here. It's like Doof has this weird thing that turns mountains into his head. And it's like that's like probably the least offensive part of this whole episode.
Yeah.
We have codependent, unhealthy relationships. We have Phidias, who has a literal addiction that he has to feed or else he gets antsy. You know, it might be something benign like caffeine. You know, I got to get my coffee in the morning. You know? It seems like he's got a little math addiction here.
Yes,
what's your favorite subject, Phidias?
Math!
That's right. he's got a little problem there.
All right, so what are you going to give Bully Bromance?
Oh, man. I'm going to give this one a 2 because I'm uncomfortable about the codependent caustic relationship. It's usually played for laughs, you know, but this time it's romanticized like it's a good thing. I mean, literally, it's like they call it a bromance. It's romanticized.
Yeah.
I have the same problem with, like, Harley Quinn and Joker. And, you know, their relationship. They're clearly terrible people who are terrible for each other. But Joker, you know, finds Batman more important than Harley. And he will put her in harm's way any chance he gets.
Yeah.
You know, it's not healthy. It's not something to be romanticized. And yet people are like, relationship goals, Joker and Harley. And I'm like, he will murder her for fun. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. I'm not saying you're not right. It's just one of those things where I thought that because we don't often see, I think this is the only time we really see the hidden truth behind the bully nerd relationship with Buford and Baljeet.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know what they were trying to go for here. Like you said, I'm not going to give this a high mark either, but I'm not going to give it like
a 2. That's what I get.
I give it a 2.5, but it's just one of those things.
I'm leaning toward a 1. I usually don't do that, but...
Yeah.
I just don't think this was thought through.
I don't know what they were thinking, so...
What are you going to give it?
2.5.
I can see how helping you take over the tri-state area would afford me many new bullying opportunities. But what's with the backstory, dude? I mean, who needs a special reason to boss people around?
I never thought of it like that. We'll get started as soon as I pick up some fresh lab coats. These have got scorch marks all over them.
Out of my way, mallet heads. Move it or never use it.
Wow, this kid's always on the clock.
Give Dr. Tooth that hurts here his lab coat, Bright Eyes.
I'm sorry. We have a line here. You might want to use it.
And you might want to rethink that. I mean, it would be a shame if this double Dutch chocolate mocha espresso you've been drinking were to say, I don't know, splishy splash on all those pristine white lab coats you got back there.
Hold me.
You wouldn't dare.
Try me.
Fine. Take your dry cleaning and go.
I mean, you're right.
You're
I'm not, sir. I'm not saying you're not right. It's not a good episode. But again, I would like to know the genesis of why they, like, are they trying to help? Like, is this supposed to be an 11-minute long-form version of, you know, stand up to bullies like the Cartoon Network ad was kind of thing? Or is this supposed to just teach us that, you know, these relationships are bad and no, you shouldn't do, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
I get that from this.
Yeah. I don't know, but that's what I'm saying. Like, look, like...
Maybe that was supposed to be a minute 13, 14? Sorry, we're cutting the commercial where the actual public message is being broadcasted here.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, we are going to move on to the Dunkelberry Imperative. We'll be back after this.
The Brussels State Department of Motor Vehicles and Goat Registration.
And this is it right here. Thanks for the ride. Keep the change.
What change? You've been hitchhiking.
It's an expression. Harry the Platypus. Wow, Röntgenhosen. 5 seconds and you've already gone native. Well, don't worry. I'm not doing anything evil today. I'm just here to renew my driver's license. Say, as long as you're here, why don't you stay and keep me company? Please, it's so boring.
All right, it is time for the Drusselstein driving test course.
Straight downhill.
Talk about a good song.
That was an awesome song.
Yes, it is.
How is that awesome? The whole, I'm getting ahead of myself, but the whole driving test is the best.
Oh, yes.
The whole thing. The time they get in the car all the way down to the bottom of, you know, Mount Drusselstein is awesome. The look of sheer terror on both of their faces. They're like, they immediately realize they've gotten into more than they can handle. Like, what have I done? This was a terrible idea and I regret it immediately. Perry is writing his will on the way down.
Thanks for coming along, Perry Platypus. You know, having you around just makes me feel, you know, safer. In this circumstance. Back home, it's exactly the opposite.
Heinz Doofenshmirtz, do you attest that you take this driving test of your own free will?
Yes.
You may go.
Oh, wait, I'm not ready. Let me psych myself up. Just a few breathing exercises, then I'll go, okay, Ray?
We have a choker.
Turn, yield, halt. If you fail, you know who's at fault. I'm a vehicular assault. As a doing set, Russell's thing, driving test balls. Gas, shift, brake. Drinking coffee's a big mistake. Try not to plunge into the lake. When you're doing set, Russell's thing, driving test balls.
I'm okay.
Use the hands when you steer her, then check in the mirror. What you see may be nearer. Don't lay on the horn. See the traffic crossing, pedestrians crossing. Never drive when you're crossing. You wish you were born. Belt yourself. Only way to protect your health. Dig your friends all your heart. Earned wealth. If you croak when you're boldly embarking and parallel parking and acing the written. Look out for that kitten. No time for high-fiving. You're barely surviving the dangerous truth of staying driving.
I think I did okay.
And the song is done completely in a German accent.
Yeah.
And the car is doing like Crazy Taxi.
Oh yeah.
You play Crazy Taxi like back in the day?
Oh hell yes, I love Crazy Taxi. If that's a game that doesn't need a remake right now, it's Crazy Taxi.
It looked like they were driving the Crazy Taxi.
Mm-hmm.
Without the checkerboard, it was yellow. But you
true,
get the
Yeah. So when Mom is out of Dunkelberries for her famous Dunkelberry pie, the boys set out to find some for her. Meanwhile, Perry and Dr. Doofenshmirtz find themselves. It says that it says themselves, but I said it as themselves. Across the ocean as Doofenshmirtz returns home to renew his Drusselstinian driver's license. Back in Danville, Candace is convinced she has discovered the answer to her busting problem. Okay, first of all, the tri-state area, wherever you want to say it is, Danville, the town that Milo Murphy lives in, all that stuff, it is in the United States somewhere. Why in the Sam hell does Doofenshmirtz have to go to a European country? Like, why does he have a... He left
He's
the country.
He's not a U.S. citizen.
Oh, shit.
What?
Wow.
You just realizing that?
He's illegal still? Oh,
no,
boy.
He got married to an American citizen.
That's right. Jeez.
See, you got to put these pieces together, people.
I told you, folks. Getting married on paper is a bad idea. Being married to someone, great idea. You fall in love with them, great. Putting it on a piece of paper and filing it with the government is a horrible idea. Do not do it because the government will screw the shit out of you. Sorry, real life coming into the podcast. Sorry.
Yes, sir. Yeah. There. Talk about that later.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. I already told you that story, but anyway.
I think that the backstory here that they're not telling you is something like, you know, Hines was like a mail order bride. I forget his wife's name, his ex-wife, but
Charlene.
But, you know, Charlene probably had some issue or something where she was forced to, you know, have a mail order bride or, you know, like an arranged marriage or something. And then he comes to America, but I don't think he's a citizen.
I don't know, because the only thing I can think of is the only way he's a mail order groom is if she was drunk one night, because the only way that she would probably actively, you know, mail order groom him. The only way she would have actually done that is if she, you know, had him hit by the handsome-inator. Like, come on now. Yikes.
That's right. They never tell the story. We never hear what happened between Hines and Charlene.
Not our Hines and Charlene. We do find out in season 4 about Second Dimension Hines and Charlene. But yeah.
Oh, cool. All right.
Yep.
Steamy.
It's not that steamy.
Steamy. So, to get into it, three separate storylines here.
Yep, A, B, and D.
A, B, and D. Yeah, well, we've got B for Barry Quest, D for driver's license, and C for Candace stuff.
Yeah.
Candace has got her own thing going on, but they barely touch on it, but it's still entertaining.
True. So, let's talk about the Doofenshmirtz thing, because, yikes, wow. So he goes over there, and Svetka is the lady behind the DMV at Drusilstenian DMV, whatever they call it.
Yes.
And she is voiced none other than Baby herself, Jennifer Grey, full voice role as the character of Svetka. Next.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was her.
I didn't know it was her either until I looked at the awesome people at the Phineas and Ferb Wiki.
Nice. Nobody puts Svetka in a corner.
Nobody puts Svetka in a corner. That's right.
So, you know, it's funny. It's like there are no Dunkelberries at the market, so we're just going to swing by Europe to pick them up.
Well, they build a trebuchet.
They build a trebuchet and bend space-time.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking Inception, you know, how that folds in on itself, but I know that they were shooting for more like a Wrinkle in Time type thing.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was clever.
Absolutely.
Like, yeah, it's kind of neat. It's like, I'm going to fire myself directly into the sky and, you know, rather than... And, you know, just come back down and follow my death, I'm going to land in Europe.
Yep.
In this very, very phallic country, powered completely by a huge phallus.
Oh, goats. Oh, Lord.
I am wondering what their natural, what their national religion looks like.
I'm not. I don't want to know. Out of all the questions that I want answered from Phineas and Ferb, the Drusilstenian religion, yeah, no clue, no interest, no, nuh-uh.
Powered by a huge crankshaft.
Yes.
I thought it was funny, though, the way they illustrated it. It's like there's I don't even know what you'd call it. It's like a ribbon. Comes into every home and attaches to every washing machine, and it seems as grandiose as this idea is, it seems somewhat plausible.
Filthy clockwisers. Okay, I'm sorry, folks. I know episode 76 because, you know, hello, 1976, 1776, whatever you want to say, but it's one of those things where there's so much politicizing and like that I can pull out of these. I mean, just look at the, you know, these left-siders and right-siders. I mean, how is that not different than the last 5 years of our country?
Oh, wow. You're going that way.
Oh yeah.
I was leaning toward which side of the Twix do you like better, but no, you're going full on presidential. Okay, sure.
Note to Michael's cousin, please start listening in episode 77. The Force will be with you in that episode.
So, hi, Stacy. Hi. My wife's cousin said she was going to listen. I thought that was interesting because I don't think I have any family members that listen to this. Not many Phineas and Ferb fans in my lineage.
Other than your children.
It's been years since they've even watched it. Except for Second Dimension. We all watched that together as a family over dinner, and it was awesome. Anyway, back to this. I think the dirtiest thing that's ever gotten onto the show...
Uh-oh, time for the 5 o'clock demonstrations.
We cannot be free!
Right-siders go home! Right-siders go home!
Filthy clockwisers!
Your mama!
Was the old lady that shouts, "Your mama!" I laughed so hard. They were like, counterclockwise is better. Clockwise is better. Counterclockwise is better. Your mama! It's like, did she just say your mama? It was like, you know, like that cat. Oh!
Oh, snap.
Oh, snap! Exactly.
That's right.
I forget what cartoon that's from, but that's what I was thinking. It made me giggle. I had a lot of fun with this episode.
Yep. Yeah, this episode was hilarious.
The C story with Candace. Candace befriends Vanessa and at the library. Was it the library? And Vanessa takes her back to the evil lair.
Looking for books at my dad's place.
Why are you singing that?
It's just something we do.
Hey, so wanky. It's all like science in here.
Yeah, my dad's kind of an amateur inventor.
Looking for books at my dad's place. Why are you singing that? It's just something we do.
It's just something we do. We just make up evil new jingles on the fly because that's what we do.
You know, you really can't complain here because not only do you have Vanessa, you have Vanessa singing. Even though it's just, you know, looking for books at my dad's place, you know, even though it's just that.
Yeah.
One note from Vanessa is...
you automatically get a 5. if they knew our grading process, you know, they would just have her... they would just have Vanessa, like, sing the intro.
Exactly.
Every time.
Forget about bowling for who? Bowling for Vanessa. That's what we need. Talk about a...
I'd buy that a soundtrack. That's right.
That's right.
Oh man. Okay. This is what bothers me. This is what we don't like about the episode.
Okay.
All right. Phineas and Ferb and Isabella, because you know she's getting her national standoff badge, right?
Mm-hmm.
They end the standoff by cutting the shaft in half. Men everywhere crouch and cover their crotches. And you have to make the sound. Oh!
Mm-hmm.
All right, sorry, that was bad. Anyway, I expected them to put a huge, like, differential in the middle. I thought that there would be, like, another gear on both sides of the middle with, you know, like, a joining gear in the bot underneath.
Mm-hmm.
Like a differential, right? You know what a differential
is? Yes, oh my God. I know what a differential is, but they just... cut it in half.
They just cut it in half. Because, like, a huge differential in the middle of it would be too much work. I actually put more thought into this than like, the writers did, you know? And I'm like, if you had two sides and one was going this way and one was going that way, how would you fix that? And that was what I came up with. And they're like, nope, we're just going to cut it in half. Oh!
Yeah.
That's the sound you make when they cut it in half. The giant shaft.
I guess. I don't know. That's it. Your shaft jokes are lost on me. I mean, unless it's Samuel Jackson, I don't care about any shafts.
It's a huge shaft.
Yes.
It powers the phallic nation. because it's long.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. Candace destroys the trebuchet.
Of course she does, because Candace destroys everything.
Well, no, she destroyed it with an innator.
I know.
She's the second, you know, quote unquote, good character here in this episode who's destroyed something with an innator.
Mm-hmm.
Perry destroyed Heinz's good looks with an innator, and Candace destroys the trebuchet.
Well, she doesn't do it on purpose, though. I mean,
it's not malicious, right?
But, yeah, I mean, you know,
it wasn't meant to be mean, but that's totally what happened. I just wanted to point it out for the record.
Mm-hmm. For the record, right? Let the record reflect you've pointed it out.
Curse you, conceptual elasticity of space time.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought it was funny that he was trying to get back on in the car on the trebuchet,
mm-hmm.
shooting him across space-time, or rather folded time, or folded space. That's what it was. And then it disappeared, and he fell into the
ocean.
Fall into the ocean? That was didn't get that as ocean, but yeah, I guess that was the only place he could have fallen in between Europe and here.
Exactly.
Into the ocean. That's the evil. Ocean.
Well, yeah.
Man, everyone is just eviling it up, except for the guy who's actually evil. He actually didn't do anything bad this time.
No. Not really.
He was the least evil.
Yep.
Ah, with that car, the driving test. That was the best. So
in our culture, turning our goats around is a mark of a coward. Neither side will back down. So it is, such as it ever has been in Drusselstein, land of the shaft. I'm done now.
I am done now. I have spoken.
Yes, I have spoken. This is the way. Henceforth, we shall call this day Phineas and Ferb Day. You mean Ferb and Phineas Day.
I'm not sure how they would get that. You know, unless they're just purposefully being contrarian.
Well, I mean, at the end of it, again, it goes back to the whole thing of how they won't turn their goats around.
Yeah.
Left-siders, right-siders. Yeah. And now that Phineas and Ferb have come over and put a saw in the middle of their shaft. Ooh, that hurts. You know, it's like now that Phineas and Ferb have, quote-unquote, saved the day, it's like, well, you have to either be Phineas and Ferb or Ferb and Phineas. Like that's the new argument in Drusselstein.
Nice.
Yes. I don't know.
Ah, good times. This was really good. I really enjoyed this episode. I give it a 5 for medieval siege engine travel. It's spelled tree bucket.
I am also giving it a 5. Basically for Vanessa and for the driving test course and Svetka. Yeah. Svetka's awesome. I need Svetka as our new spokeswoman on this podcast. Of course, that means I'd have to pay Jennifer Grey, but still.
It's like the Game of Thrones. Is the big woman here?
No. All right. On that note, since I'm not a Game of Thrones fan, we're going to head on to the final episode of the day.
I said, you're not getting me up into the mountains on a day like this. I'm staying right here with my beautiful air conditioning. I'm just gonna chillax right through this one.
Thanks for letting us host the French Fireside Girls at your cabin this afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Flynn. This will be a great place for them to get their North American tracking patches.
What did I do again?
The French Fireside Girls, or les Filles Coin des Feux, as they're known in their country of origin, are going for their North American tracking patches, and you're helping us help them.
I put a sticky note on your shirt.
Aw, and you wrote love. I knew it was there.
Why do you play senile?
I love your notes.
They're here, the French Fireside Girls. Or les Filles Coin des Feux, as they are known in their country of origin.
Bonjour, les Filles Coin des Feux. Je m'appelle Isabelle.
Oh, tu parles français? Alors ça, c'est inattendu. Et j'ai beaucoup de choses à dire, par exemple, le fromage.
Stoppy! That's all the French I've got.
D'accord. I am Brigitte, and these are Josette et Colette.
Bonjour.
And this is...
Phineas et Ferb. We read your column in Les Filles au coin du feu Gazette.
I'm syndicated.
Naturellement.
All right. Finally up today is Buford Confidential. Brigitte, Josette, and Colette are visiting from France. They help Isabella capture the American grizzly bear, one of the world's most dangerous creatures. Okay. With Buford as the bear. This backfires when he discovers the identity of Brigitte, throwing him off his game. Back at their grandparents' cabin, Phineas and Ferb create the most amazing run-through-the-sprinkler experience. Meanwhile, Dr. Doofenshmirtz's loathing of pretzels drives him to create the Detwistinator to untwist every pretzel in Danville. Okay.
Nice.
Come on, Doof. That's not even evil.
Exactly. He is just not evil.
He's not evil. However...
Brigitte is.
However, I'm running for love in a bear suit. Oh, I love this. What is it with these episodes, these cartoons today? They all have such good songs.
Voila! The footprints continue here. This way, the hunt is on.
Yes, sir. She's good.
I got no time for conversation, cause I'm running for love. Don't need no complication, cause I'm running for love. Wish I had better transportation, but I'm running for love. Yes, I'm running for love. In a bear suit, running for love. If you find yourself running for love in an animal-themed costume, you can do a whole lot worse than a bear suit. Running for love. Running for love. In a bear suit.
Fireside Girls, goggles on. He has gone completely animal.
Have you ever read The Most Dangerous Game?
Probably not.
Okay. The backstory here is that this guy gets washed up on an island. He's a sailor. And he finds a chateau on the island. And they take him in and they feed him and they give him a room. And then he finds out that the guy who owns the chateau is a big game hunter. And he hunts people who wash up on his island.
Oh no!
Yeah, and the most dangerous game, the title of the book, is man. You know, so that's why he hunts men. It's a really interesting story. But this reminds me of
these really French hunters show up. And they're like,
"It's what?
Really creepy is what it is."
Yeah, it is. But they, you get these French hunters and they show up and they're like, "We are here to hunt the most dangerous game," and it's a Buford in a bear suit.
Yeah.
Hunting him like an animal.
I mean, I love the French Fireside Girls part of it because it's like, oh, Buford actually has a backstory? Like, you know, going back to Bully Bromance, you know, say what we will about that one because it's not that great of an episode. But again, showing more of Buford's backstory and that, you know, and I love how, you know,
this
so
happened in, like, Summer Belongs to You. Was this like he disappeared for however long
and
romanced a French native or something? I have no idea when he did this.
When does it even say when this when that takes place? Anyway.
I'm going with that. I'm gonna say he snuck away or something. But yes,
yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Because that's why he speaks French, because when he was in Summer Belongs to You, when they were in Paris, yes, that's right.
Oh, I thought he learned to speak French specifically for Brigitte.
But they were in that's when he had the time to do it, is when they were off in Paris. Because they all go off and so I'll have to relink the old Summer Belongs to You.
Oh, yeah, they got stuck there.
Yeah.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I remember. Ah, that's funny, but I love the idea of the French Fireside Girls. And I'm trying to remember how they say it in French. It's the La Femme de la Vue something.
Don't try.
Anyway, well, it's funny because I took French in high school, so I understand a lot of French words. I can't actually speak it very well, but if I hear it spoken, or even if I see it printed, I can read it pretty well. And when the French Fireside Girl showed up and just started speaking French, I was delighted. That might be the best way to put it.
Mm-hmm. Might be the only PG way to put it.
Yeah, well, no. Well, a slightly less PG way is the girl from The Wonder Years played two of the French Fireside Girls.
Oh, yeah, Winnie. Whatever.
Yeah, exactly. I was not a fan of Winnie Cooper.
I'm not a fan of that show, so...
Either. I mean, but the whole idea was, she grew up and she made something of herself. She got, a PhD in physics or something. And it's like, oh, that's awesome. But she also does, still the little acting work, which is kind of cool. I was always more of a Topanga guy.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Topanga is so much better, yeah.
If Topanga grew up and got a PhD, I'd be, fanboying,
Well, she's a lawyer, but, yeah, not in real life.
What?
Danielle Fishel, maybe not, but the character of Topanga, if you watch Girl Meets World on Disney Plus, by the way.
I don't.
Well, you should, because it's a short-lived, it's only got three seasons, and you could basically, I could point out to you the best episodes to watch kind of thing, but it's one of those things where they move to New York, she becomes a lawyer, yada, 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 whatever. What irks me about this episode, and I'm just finding this out now, we have Matthew Lillard and Rob Paulsen as additional voices in this episode. Yeah. I do not remember who the hell they were, which additional voices they were. And the fact that you get Rob Paulsen without I'm not saying
can hear Paulsen and just know it's him.
Exactly. That's the thing. And
it's like Steve Bloom. You just hear it and you're like, that's Steve Bloom.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know.
But yeah, I didn't catch Rob Paulsen. Matthew Lillard, his voice, he's not doing Shaggy all the time. He's got range that you wouldn't know unless you heard him do a couple of different things. But I didn't recognize his voice either.
Yeah, I didn't either. So no clue.
Huh.
Kind of sucks.
The what?
It kind of sucks.
Oh, that we didn't recognize that. I couldn't even figure out where those voices were. It's like, where is the were they extras in Paris? Were they speaking French? Is that why I didn't recognize?
Maybe.
I don't know.
But you'd think, okay, so I'm looking at the memorable quotes and stuff. Uh-huh. You'd think I know what we're going to do today. Hey, where's Paroline? Where Phineas says, it's a tad sweltering. A little fun with water might be. And, Clyde is the grandpa, so I know who Grandpa Clyde is. But, you would think that if they had memorable lines, they would be in the quotes or something, but apparently not. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think the best line is... Buford, he says, the forest is crawling with patch crazed Europeans, and I'm a bear in the woods. What do you think I'm doing? Yeah. Phineas is like, oh, I know.
Shh, don't say it, Phineas.
I know. He's this is a PG program. What does a bear do in the woods? I wonder. Mm-hmm. Mostly forage for food and sleep.
And shit.
In the woods, because that's what they do in the woods. I know.
This episode brought to you by Charmin, where it cannot be found in any store shelves nowadays.
You need a Costco membership.
All right, shut up.
The pretzel elitist. Backstory. Elitist. I got Costco and Sam's Club membership. Chrissy and I just spend the Saturday morning just shopping. Pretzel backstory. The D Twistinator. This is funny that we've gotten this far through the episode, have not talked about Doofenshmirtz once.
That's because this is evil and it's not worth talking about.
The D-twistinator that turns boring pretzels into breadsticks. I'm not sure. You know what this would be good for? It's like when you get like a fresh transformer and you pull them out of the box, but those little twist ties to hold them in is like 50 of them and they're hard to get out. Yeah.
Yeah.
This would be handy for that.
Yes, yes, it would.
If you're running from love in an animal-themed costume, you could do a whole lot worse than a bear suit.
The suits that they put him in, oh my god.
Oh, there's a list. Read the list.
I don't think there's a list. I was just making the comment.
Animal costumes Buford wears. Bear, giraffe, reindeer, lemming, rattlesnake, vulture, shark, frog, unicorn, which was awesome, six-legged octopus, known as a hexapus, Perry, the platypus, in the mommy puss suit,
yep,
a toucan, and a whale. And the last one was a whale. It's funny because, you know, as he regards his surroundings, he says, this is very improbable.
Yeah.
You had to have read the book.
I know. I know what you're talking about.
You didn't read the book.
Call me Ishmael. I get it.
Oh, yeah. It's not Ishmael. It's the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Oh, God. Screw that thing.
No, there's a whole thing where a whale spontaneously appears in the sky next to a potted plant. And he, sees the plant and wonders what it is and wonders why he's plummeting and wonders what's coming at him so quickly because he doesn't realize what the ground is. And then just before he hits it, he names himself Whale.
I think I just lost some brain cells.
That's high. I mean, well,
the only thing I can tie it back to is welcome to the agency, Perry the Potted Plant.
Perry the Potted Plant. This is a whale, Buford Whale, and the Potted Perry the Potted or
what's
his name? Potted Plant, Potty the Potted Plant.
I don't know. I thought it was Perry the Potted Plant. I don't know.
You name it Perry the Plant. It's Planty.
Planty the potted plant. That's what it is.
Planty the potted plant.
That's what it is. But anyway.
Go read Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. It's fun.
No, thank
it's
a fun.
Well, it's sci-fi. You'd love it.
No, it's not sci-fi. I want to read.
Anyway, you can read, right? I know you can.
No, I can't. I can read as long as there's pictures.
and lastly, Buford is caught in the end, but not killed.
Well, of course not. I mean, what do you want them to do to him? Animal cruelty? I mean, come on.
Yeah, I want to see his head on a stick. Sorry.
Okay.
Good show. I'm sorry. Anyway.
And you gave it grief for getting too emotional and adult-like in Bully Broman. Wow. And yet you want, Buford cannibalized. Ooh,
I didn't say eat him. Let's not be unreasonable here. All we want to do is put your head on a stick. Let's not be unreasonable here. No one's going to eat your brain. All right, so I'd give this one a 4 for French accents.
3.5 for me.
Really? Even with French accents?
Yeah.
They actually speak French for the first couple of minutes of the episode.
I
don't speak French.
Oui, oui. That's the best I can do.
Way.
Yeah.
Oh, way.
Yeah. Oh, I'm a French tom-tom. That's the best I can do.
I will toss you a second time.
Yeah, that's the best I can do.
That's awesome.
So, all right, 3.5 and 4. We're going to take a quick ad break, come back with final thoughts after this.
Dacian, the superhero webcomic. Dacian's got superhero antics and sexy girls. For action, comedy, mayhem, and more, read it now at Dacian.com. Dacian.com.
Do you like retro cartoons? Then Saturday Morning Rewind is the podcast for you. Join them each month as they talk about classic cartoons and interview legendary voice actors like Jim Cummings.
I am the terror that flaps in the night.
Corey Burton.
Sometimes fun is going to be so funny.
Rob Paulsen.
Sure, Blaine, but how
we going to find chaps our size?
Nancy Cartwright and many more.
Eat my shorts.
So grab a bowl of Lucky Charms.
They're magically delicious.
Put on your hammer pants. Go to SaturdayMorningRewind.com. And be prepared to feel like a kid again. Once again, that's SaturdayMorningRewind.com. Saturday Morning Rewind was voted best podcast ever by its host, Tim Nidell. So it's gotta be good.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week, we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news,
play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or geekcastradio.com.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Car. Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
Well, I am shocked and dismayed.
Well, now you can't be both. You be shocked, I'll be dismayed.
Coming in 2016, Steve Megatron and myself, TF2 and Mike, bring you a brand new TV review show. Welcome to Podcaster Meets World. That's right. We're launching a Boy and Girl Meets World review podcast here on the GCRN. It'll take us 70 episodes of the podcast to review all 158 episodes of Boy Meets World. After that, we will tackle Girl Meets World. You can find Podcaster Meets World on GeekCastRadio.com and iTunes starting late summer, early fall 2016. So come on and walk through the world with us.
I love the thing they call.
Kid?
Yes?
Shut up.
Beyond the Night is the GCRN's latest review podcast. We are covering everything in the Knight Rider television universe. From the classic 80s TV series to the 1991 reunion film, Team Knight Rider, and the 2008 relaunch series as well. So join TF2 and Mike and Dion the Music Man as they go in-depth in Beyond the Night, only on GeekCast Radio Network. You can find Beyond the Night in iTunes and on www.geekcastradio.com.
Kit?
Yes, Michael?
Just keep driving.
By the power of Grayskull, I command the Jawbridge. Open!
The Powers of Grayskull series will cover every episode of all four Masters of the Universe cartoons. Join Optimus Solo and myself, TF2 and Mike, as we tell tales of Eternia, discover the myths of Etheria, become masters in space, and finally, Masters of Grayskull. We'll have a commentary on the Secret of the Sword film and a few other special episodes. You can find this 125-episode-long podcast in iTunes and on the web at geekcastradio.com. By the power and honor of Grayskull, we all have the power.
Yeah, I hope I didn't miss anything exciting.
Hi, my name is Dr. Andrea Littamendi, clinical psychologist.
And I'm Brian Ward, nerd. And we want to invite you to listen to our new podcast, The Arkham Sessions.
It's a podcast dedicated to the fun
and geeky
analysis of Batman the Animated Series, episode by episode.
We pay tribute to the writers and the stories of the animated series,
while also exploring the very real psychology behind Gotham's rogues.
And maybe even its heroes. All of this and more
each week
on The Arkham Sessions
at underthemaskonline.com.
Ow. So I took my Band-Aid off, and I'm still bleeding profusely from the finger where I tore into it with the oven. And I want my Band-Aid back, but it was a dirty Band-Aid because I still had grease from the oven on it, and I washed my hands.
Dirty, dirty French Band-Aid.
Dirty French Band-Aid. It's a very French Band-Aid. It's dirty. That's it, my French Band-Aid. How dare you?
Oh my god.
It's dirty now. Dirty.
Oh lord.
What are we doing?
What do you mean, what are we doing? I'm waiting for you to... Yeah, I know, outro. I'm waiting for you to stop talking about your French Band-Aid.
It's a French Band-Aid. It's a very French. I put my Band-Aid in your baguette.
Ew.
Where have you been? Dude, it is not my problem.
Sir, did you order a bear?
Oh, man, that would have been so funny without the snorkel.
We are back here on the 76th day of Palka. And luckily there have not been any French Band-Aid Yetis around anywhere.
In your baguette.
Ew. Gross. Oh, boy. Anything else we want to say before I close it out?
You know, I usually have something clever, but this is...
The French Band-Aid in the baguette is the best thing you got?
Hey, no, my Band-Aid fell off and now I'm bleeding profusely, so we got to wrap this up.
Thank you for joining us here on Palka. There are some ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Please call 911 for Michael.
It's just over here.
This is the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on this and all of our other episode posts. Send any email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. Put in Palkas and the episode number that you're leaving the feedback for. So 76, 75, 71, 104, I don't know. Here are all the ways you can listen to us nowadays. Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, and of course the home where our files exist, Spreaker. You can also listen to us on any other podcatching client you choose, but I prefer you use one of these. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. I'm pretty sure we don't have any iTunes reviews. I just checked recently, and there's still only two, and one of them really isn't even a review, as I've said before. But anyway.
Do people still use iTunes? Because, like, yeah. On my phone, on the iPhone, I've actually got an app called Podcasts, and that's what I read, or I get on my
phone. I'm, on a PC, so I'm not Apple ecosystem. I mean, I'm on a PC. I have an Android, which is superior to iPhone. Follow us on Twitter at TFG and Mike is my Twitter. You can also follow at Geekcast Radio for all the other network updates. What is your Twitter?
GeekonCT Michael.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekcastRadioNetwork. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Palka and wish you'll join us next time when we'll be giving you our thoughts on the next episode of Phineas and Ferb, which features Sleepwalk Surprise and Sci-Fi Pie Fly. It is a single episode, folks, so it'll probably be very short compared to how long this thing was. For now, I am TFG and Mike with
Michael Wilson.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
Every episode with Vanessa singing automatically gets a 5.
Of course.
But wait, there's more.
No clue.
Sorry to be so down, but...
You know what? It is what it is. I mean, you're not... Like I said, you're not wrong. You're not at all. I saw it in a different way to the point of, oh, okay, like... This is the point that Baljeet, paper or plastic, taking plastic over paper is Baljeet's breaking point. And, I am no longer your nerd. And he walks off and then Buford falls into this other situation where with Doofenshmirtz. And I just figured, oh, they have to see what their lives are without each other. And that just means that they need each other even more at the end. I don't know. I don't get it.
Did like Dunkelberry though. I liked it a lot.
There's not enough chocolate in Dunkelberries, but anyway.
It'd be good with chocolate. It's too tart.
Yeah, I know, right?
We'll give you the whole seat, but you'll only need the edge.
Say it again.
Aren't you a little young to be a podcaster?
No, I'm not. Aren't you a little old to be watching this cartoon show?
Yes, I am. It's good to see the nation's senior citizens taking an interest in cartooning.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
There's not really any more. That's about it.